I want to ask, what would be your price to not talk about Jesus? Okay. How much money could somebody pay you to be quiet about your faith? And I will give you a starting amount. This is a real number. You will get a monthly bonus of about $515,846. That's your monthly bonus, as given by Paris Saint-Germain soccer team, PSG, to their star Neymar. Neymar is Brazilian. He reportedly has an ethical clause in his contract. If Neymar can avoid any of the outlined controversies in the clause, he receives that bonus every month, about a $515,000 a month bonus on top of his regular weekly earnings of $547,303.49 per week. And I did this math several times, converting pounds to, and came out to this every time. And there are news outlets everywhere. They all said the same thing. It's an ethical clause, and it outlines things because the committed Christian, Neymar, must avoid any, quote, political or religious propaganda that could damage the image or the unity of the club. He must avoid any negative public comments about the club, those who work there, those who support it. They ask for exemplary behavior, especially on the field. It requires him to show up on time, be courteous, make himself available to team supporters when asked. You can see in that image there, he has worn a headband that says 100% Jesus when playing games in the past. He posts messages praising God on his social media accounts often. He once was quoted as saying, "Life only makes sense when our highest ideal is to serve Christ." And they say the roots of his faith came because there was a donation made from a local evangelical church to his home youth team. They made a new pitch. They made a new field for his Santos youth team. He grew up in the Peniel Baptist Church in his native town of Sao Paulo. Its lead pastor, Newton Lobato, has previously revealed that, yes, Neymar gives the church around $17,000 every year. Okay, so there's a whole lot there to chew on in regards to money and faith. Okay. And we are coming to our annual money series, if you will, today and the next two Sundays. These messages are focused on finances. And we're starting with that question, how big of a deal is money to you? I worded it this way. Do I think too highly of money? Scripture will caution us against chasing money. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. His Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Or Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. So there's three, and what's the common thread there? What's the key word that's repeated every time? Love. It's in all those. Love. Do I love money? No, I don't love money. Are you having an affair on the side with money? No. How do you know? Daniel McCoy was writing for a site called Renew. He had 10 questions that he asked about money. I have combined some of those, put them in different groups, broken up, added to, left out these three sermons. What does thinking too highly of money look like? Leads in well with everything that Craig and Stephen have already shared. How big of a deal is money to me? I don't know. What do you mean? What does that look like? Maybe I can rephrase it. If you could order your values on a piece of paper with who or what you love most at the top, where would money be on that ladder? So you can kind of maybe mentally go through that and think where you think it is. And then we'll go through these lists and ask these questions this morning, and you can see if, you know, maybe I need to move it up or down a little bit. McCoy's list began with this group of people first. Some people put money higher than their health. Is that me? They work too many hours for them to be able to really take care of themselves. They get too little sleep. They experience too much stress. Eventually, any extra they make goes to the doctor. Proverbs 23:4. Do not wear yourselves out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. And I know in the back of this, people are going to be saying, look, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm just trying to get by. But it's stress. This is a 2015 Stress in America survey. And it says, stress about money and finances is prevalent nationwide in 2015, even as aspects of the economy have improved. So now extrapolate that forward to where aspects of the economy have not. And then here it is. In fact, regardless of the economic climate, money has consistently topped America's list of stressors since they first did their survey in 07. 72% of adults said, yeah, I'm stressed about money at least some of the time. 26% stressed about money most or all of the time. 32% of the respondents said lack of money prevents us from living a healthy lifestyle. 12% said we've skipped going to the doctor when we needed health care because of financial concerns. Second group, some people put money higher than their own integrity. That could be at work. That could be on my tax returns. So trading your integrity is bound to cause buyer's remorse. Once you trade away your integrity, it's hard to get it back. Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Proverbs 16:8, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. And Proverbs 19:22, better to be poor than a liar. Some people put money higher than their families. And their kids grow up with a parent or parents who provide, but not with parents who connect. And the rest of their lives, those kids are poor. Proverbs 15:16, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. I have been hearing these presented as news reports. I don't know that this is a finality, but rumor has it, speculation that both Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are looking at or hired divorce attorneys. Now, if you know those people, we're talking about Neymar kind of money, he being a quarterback and she being a supermodel. Talk about two parents who have the ability to provide financially. And while we're talking about rich married couples, you've already seen there's one there, Proverbs. A lot of what you're going to hear in the next 3 weeks are from Proverbs, from Solomon, who had literally 1,000 women in his life. Richest man that ever lived. He has a lot to say about valuing money too highly. Is there more to parenting than monetary provision? 4, some people put money higher than people around them who really need it. This was an Associated Press story that I kept from March. You may have seen it. The dramatic story of an iconic movie costume from The Wizard of Oz, thought lost for decades, went through another plot twist on Monday when a judge blocked its planned sale at auction. I don't know if you, that's one of, I think there were 4 blue and white checked gingham dresses, Judy Garland wore in 1939. She's Dorothy. They were going to auction it at a Hollywood memorabilia in Los Angeles, and it was put up for sale by Catholic University of America. It says they rediscovered this dress in a shoebox when they were preparing for renovations. And auctioneers, Bonhams listed a pre-sale estimate of $800,000 to $1.2 million for this dress. And then it gets withdrawn because a U.S. district judge in Manhattan granted a motion for an injunction after hearing a lawsuit filed by, here it is, a relative of Father Gilbert Hartke, who worked at the university and was given the dress in 1973. Hartke died in 1986, but he has a niece, Barbara Ann Hartke, 81 years old, who filed a lawsuit against the school. She said, hey, I'm his closest living relative. The dress belongs to me. She said, he was given it. It was a personal gift. Actress Mercedes McCambridge gave it to him. The lawsuit says, quote, the university has no ownership interest in the dress, as there is no documentation demonstrating decedent ever formally or informally donated the dress to Catholic University, which prompted them to file a motion against the the lawsuit. The school's attorney said, hey, Hartke is a Dominican priest. He had taken a vow to, quote, never accept gifts in his personal capacity. The dress could never be considered part of his estate. Catholic University officials said the dress went missing for decades after it was given to Hartke when he was head of their drama department. Well, now it's been found. So if you're helping us clean out the old equipment kitchen and downstairs and check the shoe boxes, please. You know, there might be $1 million VBS costume down there somewhere. You know, but I read through that and I thought, who's going to get that money? Don't answer out loud, you know, but who's going to get all that money? And then you're going to say, who needs all that money? I don't know either party. You know, it's just easy to stand here and speculate, oh, university, I'm sure they have endowments, blah, blah, blah. They don't need it. You know, I was going to say, one, she doesn't need it. And somebody's going to say, you know, health concerns for an 81-year-old, $1 million could go pretty quickly. This is what we do. This is why I told you that. That's exactly what we do. We spend all our time talking about debating and discussing what somebody else should do or not do with their money. Please do not forget that the heart of this series is me. Do I love money? Am I putting money higher than people around me who actually need it? Daniel McCoy said the same thing. As believers, we have to be wary that we don't succumb to a double standard. Oh, we do better with our money than they do. Then we learn about the needs. Maybe it's an orphan that needs sponsored, or it's a missionary that needs supported. So there's a saying every family ought to get used to saying, believing, and reminding, people are more important than things. People are more important than things. And he said, kids need to hear that, and so do all the adults. The words of the Lord, Matthew 25:35, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And how does that interaction continue, right? They look at Jesus and say, when did we feed you or clothe you? And what does he say? When you did it to the least, you did it to me. You know? And then some people put money higher than God's purpose for their life. They know God wants them to live a particular purpose, but I'd rather take a different path. Quite honestly, because of the money. And McCoy said, that's going to be pretty hard to explain on Judgment Day. I don't know if you've ever had anybody say, I don't really love what I do, but it's about the money. It's good money. I've heard that a lot of times. It's good money. Yeah. And we argue, we defend in relation to money enables me to do this or give this. But I liked what McCoy wrote, it's going to be pretty hard to explain that on Judgment Day. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So that's first thought. I don't know if you say, yeah, maybe I need to re-rank just a little bit. I thought I had money down here. Maybe it's, you know, and if you could just be honest with yourself, that's all, that's That's the point. You know, I'm not trying to condemn. This is not a 3-week series where hopefully I can make everybody just hate to come to church by the time we're done. You know, when is this going to be over? Please rest assured, we do not have the treasurers working on a chart to extrapolate and put up, this is how much each family gives, so assuming that's a tithe, 10%, then they are earning X. Okay, that's not going to be seen. That's between you and God. But money decisions do affect our relationship with God. They affect our relationship with friends and family. So this is, in the sermon calendar, it's a good time for an annual checkup. If I need to make an improvement, so be it. One of the meditations, I said, we work on houses all the time. You know, we're constantly working on the house, maintaining the vehicle. We're probably working on our health, trying to keep our body up. It's the same with finances. It's okay to keep working on it year after year. So here's the other side. These are four more questions. Maybe I need to ask myself, I'm just unsure. I don't know. I don't think I have money too high. I'm not sure. I think I make good decisions on money, but I do think about money a lot. It's an everyday part of my life. Is it too high on my list? First one of those four. Is this money mine or is it God's? Does our money, do our cars, does our house belong to us or God? And you know the Bible says it's all God's repeatedly. We have this every year, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. This is new this time, 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you and we have given you only what comes from your hand. I really like that one statement. They said, if you had today only what you thanked God for yesterday, what do you have left? If God is tugging at your spouse's heartstrings to give or support this and that bothers you, why is that? Second question, is money my master or is God my master? This from Jesus, right? Jesus himself calls money master. He says, you can't serve two masters. This is Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'd be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. We know that. Both God and money really would like to control us. Which is it going to be? Why is money such a terrible master? It's very untrustworthy. It's like fire. It's like water. All those things we say, that's a great servant, but you let it get control, that's a disaster. It'll destroy you. I think we all know money. Your money could just get up and walk away. We think we have it all securely, but if anybody else has IRAs or investments that have dropped recently a little bit, you got these two would-be masters. Does money love you like God does? Absolutely not. But we know some people who have pledged their faith and their devotion to the almighty dollar. They think they're in control. They're really the slave. Third question, is money my security or is God? Where do you trust? Who do you trust when it gets tough? And I was trying to think how I'd word this. Like, on the one end, I want to offer this as an encouragement and a caution to those who are younger than us. Like, you're facing this inflationary time and you got mouths, especially teenage mouths, to feed, and it's expensive. And you think of all the cars and the insurance. And let me say this. When you come to the place in life where we are, and the debts are less, and the boys are on their own, and the inheritances start coming your way, it can be very easy to think of money as your security. And you gotta be cautious on that. And then the other end of the age bracket, we'll say the fixed income folk, that's the other group that I hear from first when inflation starts to kick in. Same thing to you. Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Am I still believing that when inflation is going up and my IRA is going down? Proverbs 11:28, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Proverbs 23:5, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. I'm trying to find the balance. I know there's balance in all this. On the one end, I'm saying trust, faith. And the other end, yeah, you have to have some planning and some wisdom and some discipline and good decisions. I get that. There are times like this when you have to say, we got to tighten the belt a little bit. We got to make some cuts. You know, we'll work on that next week more in detail. But for now, at the end, is money my security or is God? And then the fourth one, is money my treasure? Or is my treasure eternal? How much are you going to leave when you die? You know that guy that says, I've got plenty to saved up for the rest of my life. As long as I die about noon next Tuesday, everything's going to work out just fine. Maybe that's the wrong question. What are you going to take with you when you die? You play chess. I like that saying. When the chess game is over, the kings and the pawns, they all go in the same box. Proverbs 11:4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. I will promise you that. If you're thinking of money as your treasure, you're thinking too highly of it. You know, what in my life is going to outlast this life? God has treasure, right? It's treasure that will last. It's eternal. It won't rust. It's inflation proof. Jesus called it treasure in heaven. We'll end with that. We just had 1 Peter. This is chapter 1, verse 3. Sounds like Peter learned it from Jesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then we'll put on verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Again, the words of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And if you have one of the new translations, I see where they've changed rust to vermin, but it's the same thing, you know, where the critters aren't going to get it, you know. And some of this is today, if you're kind of evaluating, weighing money, its place in your life for today, and you say, everything in the Bible is about the future and eternal. There's treasure that God gives us for today, tangible, and things even that you can't buy. Right? What do we always say? Money can't buy love, joy, peace, patience. That list comes from somewhere else. If we're really honest, that's really the stuff that people are looking for. That's the stuff that people are spending a lot of money trying to find. Which I think brings us full circle. That's a good place to stop. What do you want your money to do? You know, you might have to say, look, I value money this highly because I want it to provide. And it, you might ultimately be after something that money doesn't actually buy. Is somebody valuing money too highly because they want the dollar to provide what only the divine is capable of? No. So we'll pick up next Sunday. Feel free to ask questions. In the meantime, send questions. You can, if you want, you can watch what we've had in previous years, because I'm pretty sure same topics, same text, same temptation, same truth. How important is money? Do I value it more highly than I ought? Next week, we'll try to find some ways to handle it correctly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you provide. May we truly be able to see the benefit and the potential that exists with whatever amount of tangible monies or goods, things that we have available at our discretion to use. For you first, we understand the temptations are very real. The trials are equally devastating in times like this. It is a test to hold true to what we believe when the economy is not what we would like. And through that, we pray that we would continue to keep our faith firmly set in what you say, and that we can be reminded as we gather together of those who agree with not only with us, but especially with you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.